You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome, welcome to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As always, I am your host, Hende, for the evening. I will be with you until 8 p.m. And today, we have an exciting show in line for you today. As I said, you are tuned into the Eagle Sports Zone, Eagle FM's in-house sports program, and we discuss all things sports. Like to discuss different interesting topics surrounding sports, not just what's happening on the field. We like to talk about, you know, sports management, sports development, sports psychology, all different kinds of things that make what we see on the field happen. As usual, if you haven't already, not sure why you would not, but if you haven't already, download the Eagle FM mobile application. On this mobile application, you'll be able to tune into Eagle FM wherever you are in the world, anywhere in the world, whether that's Namibia, whether that's the United States, whether that's Australia, whether that's Brazil, whether that's China. You can tune in to your favorite Eagle FM programs, whether you're going to the gym, whether you're doing laundry, maybe you're even in a boring meeting and you want to put in an earphone and listen to your favorite program. Free to download on the Play Store, the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Costs you $0.00. And on the Eagle FM mobile application, of course, you can listen to any broadcast that you may have missed. You know, maybe you had a wedding or something, you weren't able to tune in live. Just go into the podcast section. Maybe you want to listen to the Eagle Sports Zone from last week, from 2 months ago, from 3 months ago. You want to listen to programs from 3 years ago. It's all available in our podcast section. Another application you should download, you should put in your phones right now, is the Imba mobile application. That's a digital hymn book right in the palm of your hands. Also free to download on the Play Store and on the App Store. There's hymns in English, Oshiwambo, Afrikaans, German, Silozi, Herero, Damaranama, Portuguese. If the hymn exists, it's more than likely in the Imba mobile application. And don't forget, on these mobile applications, there are some great digital displays for you to interact with. These displays have all sorts of information. We make these displays available for you to become an informed citizen, to be able to acquire the knowledge you need to participate in whatever economic activity it is you're looking to participate in. Even further than that, there's vacancies available there for you. So if you're looking for a job, download the Eagle FM app, download the Inbound mobile app. If you want to access the Constitution, download the Eagle FM and Inbound mobile apps. If you want to access the Swapo Party Manifesto implementation plan, which we talk about on here a lot, which we will talk about again briefly today, it's right there on those applications. All you have to do is follow the call to action and you will have access to those various documents. I only named a few that are on there. There's many more. Alternatively, you can also listen to Eagle FM via the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. You can listen to us on your phone, on your laptop, on your desktop. Podcasts are available there as well. And before we get into today's topic of conversation, which is, by the way, today's topic of conversation is sports photography. And we would be joined by a very, very special guest. That is Mr. Samuel. Mr. Samuel Shivambu. Now, those of you listening might not be familiar with this gentleman, but this is someone who won the Photographer of the Year award last year, 2024, at the South African Sports Awards. And I know he has a funny surname. I told him what his surname means in Oshiwambo. But Samuel was gracious enough to give us his time. And for those that follow African football, about a month ago, when Mamelodi Sundowns played against Esperance FC from Tunisia, in the CAF semi-final, in that fixture when they played in South Africa, that was the second leg when they played in South Africa. If you remember, there was chaos at the end of the match between the South African fans and the Tunisian fans in the stadium. And, you know, they were fighting, all kinds of chaos, violence happening. Or as our friend Helmut would say, violence happening. In amidst all that violence, Samuel spotted a Tunisian fan. So I don't even know exactly what his plan was, but the Tunisian fan ended up hanging off the side of the stadium, essentially, or at one of the rails of the stadium. And this South African fan ended up saving him, literally saved his life. Who knows what would have happened if he fell down from all the way up there. But Samuel managed to capture that whole sequence from the other side of the stadium, by the way. So, and these images went insanely viral. Insanely viral. And Samuel captured it, and I saw the images moments after it happened because I happened to be on my phone at the time. I was trying to see what was the score in that match and so on. And I saw these images. I'm like, wow, what's going on here? You know, there was videos and other things, but those images are that's what was in the news. It went super, super viral. Millions of views on your TikToks. It's being spoken about on the news, not just in South Africa, the whole continent. And I'm sure outside the continent, it made news as well, because we've never seen anything like that before. I don't think you can even find any images close to what he managed to capture. And so we're going to hear from him in a few moments after I do the local news, sports news roundup as per usual. But today's topic is about sports photography, the impact of sports photography, a brief look at the history. What were some of the, you know, those lasting images that we've seen from decades and decades ago. But, yeah. On the other side of this, we'll get into our local news, and then we'll get into our conversation with Samuel as promised.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. We'll get into some local news. Local and international news, as we always do at the top of the program. We'll start with the Debmarine Namibia Premiership Round 22 took place this weekend. African Stars beat Comas Nampol 3-1. That was a top of the table clash there. I'll read the table out in just a moment after I do the results. FC Ongos beat Blue Boys 1-0. Juninho Athletics and Bucks Buccaneers play to a 1-1 draw. Chula Chula beat Okahandja United 1-0. UNAM FC and Cougatops play to a 1-1 draw. Young Brazilians, aka YB, lost 2-0 to Young African. I'm actually don't know why Young African aren't called YA. Could have been YB against YA. But anyways. KK Palace drew 2-2 with Mighty Gunners. And Blue Waters beat Tigers 2-0. In round 23, which happened today, Comas Nampol lost to Young African. So that's two losses this weekend for Comas Nampol. Cougatops lost 2-0 to Bucks Buccaneers. KK Palace lost to Okahandja United 2-1. And Blue Waters beat Ongos 1-0. And the Blue Boys and Tigers play to a 0-0 draw. Chula Chula drew with Mighty Gunners 2-2. And the last I checked, African Stars was leading 3-1 against Young Brazilian. It should be over. Let me just confirm what that final score was. That fixture for African Stars it ended 3-1 for African Stars, so another 6 points for Stalile. UNAM FC against Juninho. The last my sources revealed to me was 0-0 in the second half. Let me just confirm if that is over as well. That fixture according to my astute sources actually ended in a 1-0 victory for Juninho Athletic. And actually another update, African Stars beat Young Brazilians 4-1, not 3-1. So, looking at the table now, still have African Stars in the lead, leading by 3 points at the top of the table with 46 points. In second place, Young African on 43 points. In third place, rather surprisingly actually, is Mighty Gunners on 39 points. And in fourth, we have FC Ongos on 38. But on the other side of this, we'll get into the rest of the table and round up the local sports news. We'll be right back.
JSB. Namibia, it's time to dream big with JSB Sports. The Mega Giveaway 2025 is here with a massive 1 million Namibian dollars in total prizes to be won. Here's how to win. With every losing bet on our sports book of 20 Namibian dollars or more, you're automatically entered into the draw. That's right. Even when luck isn't on your side, you still have a chance to win big. Back your favorite teams, take your best shot, and let your losses turn into an opportunity for glory. Don't miss out. Visit jsbsports.bet. Place your bets and be part of the action. JSB Sports. Bet with the best.
JSB Sports. JSB supports responsible gambling and is not for persons under the age of 18.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. We were going through the speak. Actually, before I continue, speaking of the JSB match of the week, that is happening right now. I'll update you on that in just a moment. From what I can see, I don't think anyone would have won the prize this week, but we'll see. We'll see when we get there. I was saying that FC Ongos is in fourth on 38 points. Comas Nampol, who once was just in touching distance with African Stars, as I said, the league is every weekend the 6 point swing. It makes for interesting competition, because the table basically changes every weekend. Besides Stars always being in the lead, but Comas Nampol now on fifth in 37 points, and then we have UNAM and Chula Chula both on 35 points in sixth and 7th, respectively. The relegation zone, we have Blue Boys, the Coastal Boys in 14th, Young Brazilians in 15th on 15 points, and Cougar Tops a long, long way from safety at the very bottom in 16th place on 9 points. And there is seven league games to go. So that would mean 4 more weekends of Demarine Namibia Premier League action before the champion is crowned. At the moment, as I said, African Stars in the lead by 3 points. This is local news, but it's an international competition happening. Of course, is the COSAFA under 17 girls championship happening in Windhoek. Namibia is hosting that tournament. All the matches are taking place at the Hage Geingob Stadium. And if you've been in tune with our social media pages, you will see the various content, mainly pictures, that's been coming from there. But, okay, we'll start with Namibia's results. Namibia is in a group with Malawi and Comoros. We lost our first game to Malawi 3-0, and Malawi beat Comoros today 6-0. So Malawi is looking very strong in this tournament, but despite the loss, the opening loss, the girls still have an opportunity to qualify for the semifinals if they beat Comoros on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. So that becomes a do or die fixture for our ladies, who from what I've seen, not for a lack of trying, that Malawi result, maximum effort that they put in, saw some great individual performances. It's just now putting it together as a team, and we'll see. Hopefully they do the job on Tuesday and we can cheer them on into the semifinals. That's now if they beat Comoros. Malawi, of course, has advanced to the semifinal, the first team to do so. Earlier today, Lesotho played against earlier today. Lesotho played against. Why is it escaping me? They played against Botswana, excuse me. Played against Botswana and won that one 1-0. So, the finalists from last year got off to a good start in the tournament. And, from yesterday's fixtures, we had, we also had Zambia. They played against the names are escaping me today. Zambia played against Mozambique. Excuse me. They played against Mozambique. Started off strong. 4-0 victory. And I mean, this was... Zambia actually is a team that... From the last Kosovo tournament that I covered for Eagle FM, the African Schools Championship, Kosovo qualified last year, the one we hosted in Walvis Bay. Zambia was strong there as well, and in this tournament, this team, I can see why they've made four finals and won the competition twice. You know, they play great football. They tactically very astute team, strong physically as well. I was actually pleasantly surprised by how physical the team was, and. Yeah, I was able to catch up with the Zambia coach yesterday, and I wanted to know or hear firsthand why have they been so successful in this particular tournament. I mean, the tournament, this is now the sixth edition, and they've been to four finals. So prior to this tournament, they had been to four finals out of five tournaments and won them twice. So I wanted to hear, like, what's in the water in Zambia? Why are they doing so well? So let's listen to Coach Carol Kanyemba, what she had to say when I asked her that particular question. Defending champions, two times winners, you've been in the final four times. If you can share with us what is the secret? How is your team able to be so successful in this tournament?
I can say the secret is back home. The leads have really improved in our home country, and the number of girls playing football is increasing every day. So we have a lot of regional leagues that are taking part. So in that, we are able to tap talent from a very tender age. And once they see their colleagues going to play Kosovo here, they are motivated to work hard. So the growth of women football in the developmental leagues has really contributed to us having a team that is formidable and that can come and challenge year in, year out at Kosovo.
That was Coach Carol of Zambia speaking to us after their strong start to the tournament today. The fixtures coming up tomorrow in the tournament. As I said, Namibia's next match is against Comoros on Tuesday at 3:00. So if you are in the capital, make your way to the Hage Geingob Stadium. It's not going to cost you anything to watch the games. It's going to be a total of $0 and 0 Namibian cents to support the young gladiators to make the semifinals. That would be the first time in their history that they made it. So history is on the line. Let's support them and cheer them on. Tomorrow's fixtures, we have Mozambique against Mauritius. That would be Mauritius' first game. And Botswana against Zimbabwe. That would be Zimbabwe's first game as well. Mauritius, I've never seen Mauritius play football at any level, truthfully speaking. So I'm actually intrigued by what that fixture is going to look like tomorrow. I'll be there. I'll be there for both fixtures. I'll be there the whole tournament, actually, covering the tournament. And, giving you guys the latest in that. And also, just on a personal level, I'm eager to see what Mauritius can produce. In my life, I've only met one person from Mauritius, so I actually don't know. I don't know if he's indicative of what people from Mauritius are or look like. I met him in university, so I'm eager to see how their girls perform. Eager to see if Mozambique can bounce back after the loss from Zambia. And then on Tuesday, I'm very eager for the match on Tuesday that Namibia is playing against Comoros. As I said, Comoros, truthfully speaking, I didn't even know existed before this tournament. And you see that it's something I talk about on here a lot. The educative power of sport. I more than likely would have never, ever, ever come across the country of Comoros in any other walk of life. So, let's see what else this tournament can produce. So far, there are some standout performances. For example, from Malawi. Her name is, in just a moment, make sure I pronounce that correctly. Her name is Faluna Umali. She scored a hat-trick today against Comoros and won the Man of the Match award. So she now has 4 goals in 2 games. So that's one of the players that has been a bright star in the tournament, but still a long way to go. I'm sure some other stars will join her. Now, moving on to some international football news. Today's fixtures in the English Premier League, Manchester United suffered another. It's quite remarkable what's happening with that team. Another defeat, this time to West Ham United at home, by the way. They lost 2-0 to West Ham United. They now sit in, well, still are in 16th place. If the teams below them weren't so horrendous, they would legitimately be in a relegation battle. You know, they would be in the road to 40 points, as always is the relegation fight. I mean, right now they don't even have 40 points. They might end the season without 40 points if they continue in this form. But they do have a Europa League final to look forward to, but the league form is truthfully unprecedented. Right now we have Liverpool playing against Arsenal, the champions, playing against the team that gave them the closest fight in the quest to be champions. Liverpool is in the lead 2-1 with goals from Cody Gakpo and Luis Diaz, and Martinelli getting one back for Arsenal. Earlier today we also had Newcastle playing against Chelsea. Chelsea losing that one 2-0 to Newcastle. And then yesterday we had Manchester City somehow drawing 0-0 against bottom of the table, lowly Southampton, who got relegated quite some time ago. In terms of the table in that league, really with 2 games left now, after this match week, there'll be 2 games left. The really only interesting storyline is the fight for Europe, where you have, actually Arsenal are in that fight now too as well. So from 7th place to 2nd place is a gap of 5 points, looking like the Debmarine Namibia Premier League not too long ago. So 2 games left, 6 point swing can change things significantly. You have Newcastle in 3rd on 66 points. Arsenal in 2nd on 67 points. So actually beating Liverpool today would do them several favors. Manchester City now in occupying the fourth spot, excuse me. They're on 65 points. Chelsea, after losing to Newcastle, are now in 63 points. You have Aston Villa on 63 points as well. And then you have Nottingham Forest, who at one point was second in the league not too long ago, now all the way in seventh on 62 points. Well, like I said, two victories for any of the teams remaining could be a very pivotal. As I said, to scroll down, you have to scroll all the way down to find Man United in 16th place, 17 league losses. 17. Even just looking at it, doesn't even seem real. And then we have Tottenham doing even worse on 38 points. They're in 17th place and they've lost 20 times this Premier League season. 2-0, 20 times. Quite remarkable things happening, but those two sides who are in 16th and 17th somehow made it to a European final and will get an opportunity to end the season with a trophy in the Europa League. And earlier I was talking about where I referenced the JSB match of the week, which finished 4-3. It was quite an entertaining fixture. Madrid going up 2-0 through a Kylian Mbappe double. Then Barcelona coming back 3-2. And making it 4-2 actually through a goal from Rafinha, who scored 2 as well. And then Mbappe completed his hat-trick in the 70th minute, but that was all she wrote. They couldn't get back any more. And so that ended 4-3, and that was actually a pivotal fixture in their title race, because now Barcelona has pulled away with 7 points ahead of Real Madrid in first place. Barcelona on 82 points, Real Madrid on 75 points, with 3 matches left to go. So if Barca win next week and Madrid don't, the title is going to Catalunya. Now, do remember you could always call in at 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Chime in any questions, concerns, comments that you do have. Do remember that tomorrow is the Villager Day, of course. So if you haven't subscribed yet, send a WhatsApp message. Very important that it's a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144 with your email address, your name. Make sure to save the contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning, we ping you a WhatsApp, we send you an email bright and early, and you'll get the latest in business and economic news. Business, economics, policy development, agricultural stories. I mean, last week, a big story was the story of the bananas, local bananas being grown or being harvested soon. And so if you'd like to read more stories like that, another big story we had last week was the whole thing of the currency being backed by gold. I forget the mine's name now, but that's going to produce X amount of ounces in gold. If I recall that headline correctly. So if you'd like to be informed, you'd like to be an informed citizen, just subscribe. Send your email address in a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. Again, costs you 0 Namibian dollars and 0 cents to become a subscriber. And you can get all the latest news, sporting news as well, of course. Like I said, every Friday there's a column in there written by yours truly. Last week's column was about the different preparation, you can see, methods of the countries. I did a you could call it a comparative analysis between Namibia's preparation strategy or lack thereof. And of some of the other countries, I received 5 other countries that contributed to it, Comoros being one, Botswana being one, Malawi being one, Lesotho being one. The 5th one is escaping me now, but I got 5 of them to respond, got some great answers, and got some good feedback from that article as well. So, we shall see. If you'd like to read it, it is available on the Villager. The Villager website, that's www.thevillager.com.na. Alternatively, you can just become a subscriber and we can send you the link to any article that you seek, as they are all available in one place. In my last bit of local news, before we get into the actual discussion of the day, is yesterday, Saturday morning, the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth Arts, I was so confident going in. I thought I had it down now. Anyways, the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture. There we go. MESAC. It's the acronym. They had a meet and greet with all the federations at the Palm Hotel in Windhoek Saturday, where Minister Steenkamp, Deputy Minister Dino Balotti, this was hosted by the Namibian Sports Commission, I should add. They met with the various federations, representatives of federations. That's your CEOs, that's your board members, whoever their federations decided to send to engage with the Ministry of Education. And I'll give a brief summary of what was discussed there. I won't, although we have a speech recorded here, I won't get into that today. My colleagues will get into that next week, or this coming week on the various news shows and so on. But just a quick update of what was discussed there. It was topics such as tax exemptions for the federations, the whole process of getting sport visas for athletes and coaches, transport assistance, the registration of sport codes, event hosting protocols, the Namibia Podium Performance Program, which I hadn't heard of before this engagement. And by the way, if anyone from the ministry is listening, I'm sure they're very tired of me because I send them emails every week about various things, asking questions. And I understand they're very busy people at the moment. So a few of my questions have gone unanswered at the moment. But rest assured, I will be sending more tomorrow morning. For example, about this Namibia Podium Performance Program, which is something apparently that we started in 2018 about... So is this initiative that, by the way, was allocated $7 million this year by the ministry. This initiative that supposedly supposed to identify young and elite athletes with the purpose of getting them essentially to win medals. That's at your Africa Championship Games. That's at your Commonwealth Games. That's at your Olympic Games, Paralympic Games, African Championship Games. And this was approved, I think is the word, by the ministry, or it was signed off on in 2018. So that would be 7 years ago now. And of course, my follow-up question to that is, okay, since then, who has this initiative, who has been discovered? Or who, you know, has it been successful? Or is this the first year? Was there things happening between then and now? You know, these are some of the things I would like to be clarified. Or just gain better understanding, not just for myself, but for you guys listening as well, of course. As I said, a lot of these things that get announced, we don't really get clarity on. And then, like in this case, years go by without us knowing exactly what's going on. So, hopefully in this administration, we'll be able to get real-time information, which we did get an update in terms of real-time information. If those of you remember the sports management data system that was supposed to be launched on the 7th of April, as I alluded to on other shows before this, the 7th of April obviously came and went, and we didn't, it wasn't launched. And so an update was given on that, which is that it will now be launched. It will now be launched on the 13th of May, which is 2 days from now. And, on the other side of this, we'll round up, what was being discussed at this conference, and then we'll hear from none other than Mr. Samwell, the legendary sports photographer. We'll be right back.
Olium Nangeshifa, Noahara Kushivifa, Oma Kuro Ekupitira Mohorike Radio Station, Oyo Eagle FM, Enyamukuro Olongaha, Ningekwatafano na Monica, Kushikondosho Ipindi, Kon Norahita Tuimwe, Heari Imwe, Ne Heari, Imwe Imwe, Nohamano, that is 0817147116, Mamberewa, Kon Norahita Tunatu, Bali Oheta Tuvatatu, Ne Nola No Natu, Nenge, Dumo Emaila, ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Let's round up on what was being discussed there. I was talking about the data management system that is now being launched on the 13th of May. And an update on that was that of Namibia's 64 federations, I'm sure some of you didn't know we had 64 federations, essentially meaning we have 64 sports codes, which is quite a lot, actually, 64. If you're listening, call in and I would like you to name 15 sports codes. Let's see if you can do that. 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Anyways, of the 64 sports codes, 51 have been sort of boarded onto the system, but only 7 are currently classified as compliant. and 10 others are pending. Their compliance is pending. So we can say about 17 have been, will be compliant in a few days from now. And 13 haven't submitted their stuff at all, which is quite worrisome, actually. It would be interesting to know exactly which 13 sport codes those are. But, they said that the compliance process is still ongoing for the 2025-2026 year. In 2024-2025, 90% of the federations were compliant. So let's hope that number goes to 100% this year, or at least 99%, you know, leave 1% for 1% room for error, or in this case, 1% room for non-compliance. Another interesting thing that was mentioned there is that the Sports Commission has a plan, or has planned, which also started back in 2018, but was delayed through, wasn't quite clear exactly why it was delayed, but there's a plan to categorize sports, which is also in the manifesto implementation plan, to categorize sports into national, priority, and developmental and recreational codes. As I said, this was initially meant to be implemented in the 2018-2022 cycle, but it hasn't yet for reasons that weren't mentioned. But what was mentioned is that national sports codes would be sports like soccer, netball, rugby, and athletics. They said there'll be 6 in total. But because it's not officially launched yet, not everything was revealed. But another thing that they did reveal was that the national sports codes supposedly are going to have a sort of a particular formula, a funding formula. So I wonder if that's the same formula that's mentioned in the implementation plan. As I said, these questions will be sent to the ministry on Monday. And maybe next week we'll be able to get some clarity on this. Another interesting tidbit that was discussed. Not the one that came up with it, but it's that in the NDP 6, which I actually don't know when that's supposed to be fully launched as well, but now the sports, Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening, my son. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Ah, it has been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Interacted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have to share with us today?
Yeah, no, I think I'm not up to date with the one that you are related unto, what is it between South Africa? Is it say Tunisia?
You mean the when there was that fight?
Yeah, that's chaotic.
Yeah, that with Sundowns. Sundowns and Esperance.
It sounds very, very chaotic, you know.
Yeah, no, it was.
And I don't know what is the root cause.
Yeah.
Of those things, I haven't maybe able to pick it up. But according to the way you are illustrating it.
Yeah.
And maybe, has Mr. Emmanuel spoken already?
No, he's going to speak soon, but I'm sure you saw the pictures from that day. Did you see the picture of the man that saved the one fan from falling from the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Samuel.
Was falling?
Samuel is the one that took the picture. We are going to speak to him shortly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We congratulate him for his that bravery.
Yeah.
So for you to find yourself in this kind of chaotic situation.
Yeah.
Whatever the cause might be, I think this is one thing that is a challenge that is facing us now.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's why they are talking about sport codes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe those sport codes will help us to lay down the rules and regulations.
Of course.
To how we really conduct ourselves.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen those incidents. They do also happen here. You see that sometimes people express some kind of sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
that are really anti kind of, you know. So that's those kind of sports. You know, sports are supposed to be a very enjoyable discipline.
Yes.
So, and they should not make it, when you lose this time or whatever. You know, those kind of things. It's actually the spectators.
Exactly.
Who are usually causing those kind of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't put codes in place, then we can expect those situations, even though the people always disobey.
Yeah.
They always disobey.
Yeah.
But at least you have some kind of rules,
mm-hmm,
that you can rely upon.
Yes.
And it's very important that you are talking about the result and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When we have our leagues going on like that.
Yeah.
People are playing Chile Chile, getting in encounter with Mighty Gun. I think that was a very interesting game, eh?
Yeah.
I like watching those boys, my friend.
Oh, you were at the stadium?
No, I wasn't.
Was it on TV?
No, I haven't watched it. I'm just getting it from you.
Okay.
In the result that you are mentioning there.
Yeah.
And I know that I usually watch them.
Mm.
And from the experience, Mighty Ghana is also very strong.
Yeah, they are doing well this year.
Oh, they are doing well.
Yeah.
So, and Chula Chula is picking up.
Yeah, they are getting there. They are getting there.
I think the people must just see, you know, some of these techniques. They look very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But when you lay down the ball, ground the ball, this has worked ever.
Yeah.
It does not mean that you cannot close the ball when you see that your colleague's space and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, they don't keep the ball down, man. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
So now you play with these big, tall guys and you are still playing the ball down. Higher balls.
Yeah.
Because higher ball is for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a 50-50. So let's see, apply some of those techniques, my friend, and maybe so that we really manage ourselves properly in discipline. Because if we do not have discipline,
mm-hmm,
we may expect those kind of, you know, those kind of violence and all these riots and things like that.
Yeah.
So, but if you really manage these people, because the people, the investors now, they are also looking.
Yes.
Which team do I go for? Which one does it have some kind of discipline and management style, you know, all these kind of things?
Mm-hmm.
There's no leadership there. Who will invest in this kind of team?
Mm-hmm.
So, please, thank you very much. We are happy you are giving us this kind of information. Let's wait for Emmanuel to tell us the story more.
Yeah.
And also, and the leadership.
Yeah.
The global leadership, they must also come in. They can't just be giving us the conditions. We know why we are not making progress. Sometimes it's true, our standard is not perhaps up to date,
mm-hmm,
in accordance with the, you know, global or whatever standard they have put in there.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, we just want at least those kind of delays, because some of these things are own making.
Yeah.
So own making. So if you have to delay every time you challenge the situation, this tender and this thing and the procurement and everything, those kind of things, they delay. So I'm not saying that things must be done outside of the law,
mm-hmm,
but at least we shouldn't deliberately delay some of this development. Thank you very much, my brother. God bless.
Thank you for calling.
Cool.
Yes, thank you for coming through there. If you'd like to come in, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Now let's quickly round up what was happening at this meet and greet. Cause there's some interesting things were said there that I'm sure you guys at home didn't know. For example, this was said by the Deputy Director of Sport, Mr. Irvin Javera, who gave a presentation on the sort of the sports section of NDP6. He said that one of the goals that they want to, one of their targets, I guess, is to increase the percentage of Namibians participating in physical activity to 35%. According to him, or according to the ministry, the number currently stands at 29%. Honestly, I find that a bit shocking. I thought our number would be much higher, considering how many Namibians are physically active. Well, maybe there should be a clear definition of what counts as physical activity. Because, I mean, for example, is working in the fields, does that count as physical activity, or are they only counting physical activity in the sense of when you do something with the intent to exercise? But I think many Namibians are physically active without quote unquote exercising. But regardless, they want to increase the number by 6%. Then he also noted that no federation has actually communicated with the ministry yet in regards to the 2028 Olympics, which is quite alarming, but maybe now that they've been notified, that communication will come through. And a brief summary of what Minister Steenkamp had to say. She gave I know I'm supposed to be impartial here, but she gave a good speech. Those of you that have listened to the interview I had with her, if you haven't, like I said, go to the podcast section, either on the app, on the Eagle FM app, or on the Eagle FM website. Just type in Eagle Sports Zone. Scroll. Give it 1-2 scrolls. The interview will be there. And, like I said, I know I'm supposed to be impartial, but truthfully speaking, I'm a supporter. Let me say it like that. I'm a supporter, a proponent of Minister Steenkamp. So far, said all the right things, but like I said, now we're at the point where all the possible talking has been done, and now it's time for the results to show. Obviously, things aren't going to change overnight. I understand that. But it also doesn't take many nights to see some change. So all the right things are being said. All the correct messages are being put out there. The correct attitude is being requested for. Because she requested for accountability and transparency within all the federations and the ministry as well. She called for teamwork. And, basically, in short, she just reaffirmed the ministry's, desire and support to help all the federations achieve what it is that they want to achieve. And, there's a quote that she said that I found particularly interesting. She said, "Money means nothing to me if I do not see that money translating into impact." And as we all know, as has been greatly discussed over the past, who knows how many months, 6 months or so, a lot of money is being allocated towards sports, for the physical infrastructure in particular. So it's encouraging to hear the leader, essentially, of sports to say that, yes, all this money is being put in certain places, but we need to see the results. And that's all we can ask for, really, is these results. We want to see these results. Us as people want to see these results. We've been calling for these results for many, many years. And so now is the time, the inflection point, as I keep alluding to. Another question I'll give you, that I will have for the ministry, because they announced that there will be like a high performance center, essentially, is going to be built at UNAM. Now, as good of news as that is, my question is, which I didn't have the opportunity to ask at this engagement, but like I said, it will be sent over email. My question is this in addition to the center of excellence, the centers of excellence that are being built in each region? Because if you remember, in the manifesto implementation plan, it says that next to each CAF Category 2 stadium that's being built in each region, there's going to be a quote-unquote center of excellence. So now my question is, so Comas is going to have a high-performance center and a center of excellence, which, of course, the more the merrier, in my opinion. But it's interesting that these things are just basically just popping up in this manner. Like I said, in the implementation plan, it originally said 5 CAF Category 3 stadiums. Then the president spoke the other day, she said 7. And now we're hearing about a center of excellence at the University of Namibia. So, you know, maybe the ministry, and they hit the jackpot. They found an infinite source of money or something. I don't know. Like I said, we'll hear directly from them. Anyways. Now, enough on that. Let's get into our discussion with Mr. Samuel. To give you some backstory, Samuel is someone I met at the COSAFA Under 17 Championships, Girls Championships, here in Windhoek. I've been sitting next to him. We'll be sitting next to him over the next few days to cover the tournament. He's covering the tournament on behalf of COSAFA, but he actually works for Backpage 6. I'm sure some of you listening are aware of that entity, famous entity. But you know, engaging with Samuel, and it turns out he's not just an ordinary photographer, as you know I would class myself, since I take pictures for Eagle FM. Still fairly new in the game, still learning. I mean, in the past day or so, I've learned a lot from Samuel, but turns out he's actually a renowned photographer, to the point that he's an award winner, won the South African Sports Awards Photographer of the Year Award. And meeting Samuel, that's what motivated me for the topic of today, is about sports photography. And in my going on my second year, close to my second year doing sports photography for Eagle Media House. Of course, I've been enjoying it exceptionally, and I'm enjoying to be able to publish these images that are telling all these various stories from Namibian sports. I mean, if you follow our pages, you see we do cricket, we do football, we do cycling, we do swimming, we do golf, we do Premier League football. We've done that Tseya Kuku tournament in the north. And all these images that we produce, they're all telling various stories. They're all capturing various moments, some obviously more exciting than others, some more elaborate than others, some more special than others. But each image is producing a story. And as I said, in Namibia, there's not too many of us. We can be counted on one hand, maybe two, but not two full hands. One and a half hands. And, you know, if you read your local papers and so on, the back pages, it's always, if you look closely, it's a handful of people that are taking these images, right? And so, in the Namibian context, it's actually a huge responsibility, because we're telling the stories of our sport. Sports with an S. And as someone who, like I said, does cover or tries to cover various sports events, sometimes it's just one or two people that are there to tell these stories, unfortunately, but that's just the reality of our situation. But sports photography in general is such a Of course, you're trying to capture the action, but there's always, in every photo, there's a story behind it. Every single one. And I think that's the most intriguing and interesting part about sports photography. Unlike other forms of photography, really. For example, like, if you're just taking pictures at a press conference or something, the story is more in what's being written than the actual image itself. Whereas with sports photography, you can have a whole story in the image, really. And if you scroll on the Eagle FM pages, there's several such cases. The one that comes to mind is, for example, when African Stars played against Chula Chula, when we were able to capture the full stadium, you know, that's a rarity for Namibian sports. And so the whole story, essentially, in that image, right there. One I can think of that's kind of sports related, but not on the field, is when the president-elect of the International Olympic Committee came to Namibia. You know, when we captured her next to our president and next to our minister of sport, you know, to have three women sitting there, three women in charge of sport, essentially, something we've never seen. And so to capture that story was in that image. We didn't have to write anything next to that, really. The story was told in the image. And so there's many such cases in the history of sports. Obviously, there's been pictures, monumental pictures, for example, that the one at the 1968 Olympics, what was his name? At the 1968 Olympics, Peter Norman and Tommy Davis, there, those two, when they held up the fist. That picture has lived on forever. I mean, I looked it up today. The photographer of that picture is no longer with us, but that picture has and will live on forever. That's something we were taught about in school. That's something I've seen in various documentaries. All from a split second. A split second that someone clicked there on their camera. Another one I can think of is that picture of Muhammad Ali, where he's standing over his opponent, like screaming at him to get up. That's an iconic picture that will live on forever. Muhammad Ali no longer with us either. But that picture, through that picture and amongst many other things, he will live on forever. And so sports photography has this way of capturing, firstly, moments that took a lifetime to create. You know, for example, when you see pictures of athletes at the Olympics, you know, Usain Bolt crossing the finish line, Simone Biles doing all these kind of crazy flips, Michael Phelps in the pool, you know, it took thousands and thousands of hours. It took a whole lifetime for that athlete to get to that moment, to achieve what it is they achieved. But it was captured in a split second by a photographer. And then the moment lives on forever. So sports photography is a very interesting thing. And the fact that we were able to encounter Mr. Samuel, who took one of this picture, I don't think there'll be a more impactful picture, at least this year, compared to the picture that Samuel captured when he captured a man literally saving the life of another man at a football stadium. That picture, you'll hear Samuel tell us now, went incredibly viral. Millions and millions upon millions of views. I mean, he shared with me his phone couldn't stop ringing from Egypt, ringing from Morocco, all over the continent. People want to know the story behind this picture. And if it weren't for him, we would have never seen this action. This incredible moment of humanity, really. I mean, like I said, he saved this dude's life. If it wasn't for him, he would have fallen down who knows how many meters how many meters that fall would have been, and if he would have even survived that to begin with, which would have made things even worse. I mean, the whole brawl itself was, like I said, unprecedented. We've never seen I mean, we have seen fans fight before in football, not just African football, international as well, but not to that extent that we saw with the Sundowns and Esperance fans. I mean, that was incredible. And amidst all that chaos, he could have captured so many other things. But somehow he had the vision, I guess, the skill, the foresight to just take a moment to scan around and find that particular moment. And him doing that, I mean, it went out of here, is what I'm trying to say. But enough talking from me. Let's hear from the man himself, Samuel Shivambu. Samuel, thank you for joining us. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and what you do. And then give us some insight on how you got to where you are today.
My name is Samuel Shivambu. I'm from South Africa, currently staying in Johannesburg, and I'm a sport photographer. The love of photographer started in 2011 after I passed my matric. So the family didn't have money for me to study further. So my brother decided to teach me photographer. So I started learning in 2011 and 2012. That's where I got the opportunity to work for Backpage Pics. And since then I started capturing the local football in South Africa, which is the league. And then I've traveled most of the African countries covering the African Cup of Nations. So for all those years, I've been giving my best to be the best photographer, which is something that you must do, like consistency. So until now, so I've been pushing for all those years.
It's your first time in Namibia. What are your overall impressions, your first impressions of the country?
My first impression about Namibia is it looks like South Africa. And the people are friendly. So also everything's just around the corner. So the people here are friendly and amazing. So I feel at home. And also I enjoy the local food, which is called Kabana. Kabana, I went to eat Kabana. I hope this is the right word, Kabana. So yeah, since I arrived here, I feel at home. And yeah, it's familiar to South Africa, man. Namibia, beautiful.
That's great to hear. So let's now get into the photography. Do you remember the very first game or event that you took photos at?
My first game event, I remember, I think it was like Vets and Kaizer Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken, in South Africa. But my biggest event that I've covered, it was in 2013, which it was the AFCON. That was my big event. So then I was just starting to develop my photographic skills. Yeah, it was amazing, man, to shoot the African Cup of Nations in South Africa.
Now, Samuel, what's your favorite thing about being a sports photographer?
My favorite things about being a sports photographer is to capture moments, is to capture pictures that will last for longer, is to tell the story as well through my lens. Also, one thing that I like is that being a photographer, you learn to be patient, because some of the shots, sometimes you don't get it on some of the games, but you just keep on pushing, you keep on having the hunger to get the best shots. So that's one thing I like. Also, it helped me with the time, because when they say the game is starting at 3 o'clock, they're not going to wait for me. So that's one thing I like. I can manage my time daily. And also it helped me to meet new people. And also I travel because of photographer. So there's a lot that you can gain for being a sports photographer.
Now, just to let the listeners know how I got into contact with Samuel, actually, we met at the ongoing COSAFA Under 17 Girls Championship on Saturday, so yesterday. And, you know, we got to talking since we were sitting next to each other. And then when I went home, I decided, let me Google this gentleman that I'm sitting with, because, you know, he told me many interesting stories, told me where he works. And it turns out that you are a award-winning photographer. You won the Sports Photo Journalist of the Year Award at the SA Sports Award last year, which I had no idea. For some reason, you didn't mention that to me when we were talking yesterday. So tell us, what does winning that award mean to you?
Yeah, man, I see. Yeah, you went to Google and Google me. Yeah, man, I'm just an humble person, man. I like to share knowledge with other photographers as well. But yeah, I always believe that we're all winning, and then we're all winners, and we're all the best in this game. So when it comes to what you saw on the Google about me winning the award last year, the award, it means a lot to me since I started being a sport photographer. I worked very hard. I captured a lot of pictures that they've been using it on the newspapers. And also, I mean, photography, the award that I won also as well, it was just a reward for me for all the hard work that I put for all those years. And it's also, I've traveled Africa. I won't say I've suffered, but some of the other countries of Africa, is obvious when you get to those countries, sometimes you find that there's no transport, but you still make sure that you get the best shot, you know, you still deliver, you know, because I mean, when you're working for big page picks, they expect you to deliver regardless of the obstacles that you'll come across. So winning the award last year, it was more for I dedicated the award to my daughter, my firstborn. She was born in 2015 and I started traveling in 2017. So I have not spent a lot of time with her because of my traveling of the CAF event, you know. So I dedicated my award to my daughter, and also I dedicated my award to my brother who taught me photography, because he always believed in me and saying that you are the best, and keep on pushing, keep on getting those unique shots. So that award, man, when it comes, I was a bit emotional because I've been waiting for that moment for a very long time. But you know, God's timing, it's some of the things sometimes only God knows when it's going to happen. So that award, it was the best moment of my life to be a photographer, to win such award.
That's great to hear, man. That's great to hear. Now, tell us, what's been your favorite game or event that you shot at and why?
My favorite game that I've covered, obviously, it was the final in 2017 AFCON. Yeah, that was my first AFCON, you know. So that AFCON, I make sure that I get the best shot that were amazing, you know. Even when I went back to South Africa, like, my boss was talking about the shot that I got. So it was amazing to get the best shot on your first AFCON, you know. And also, I mean, the best shot, another best game that I would say, the best event that I would say that I enjoy covering, obviously, is the derby. It's the game that has got challenges, man. I like to cover games that, you know, you need to be on your toes like 90 minutes, like the game that I shot recently of Sundowns and Inspirants. You know, I got the shot of one of the Inspirants fan like hanging on one of the balcony of the stadium. You know, that was like amazing shot, you know. So that shot was used the whole Africa. People recognize my work. So yeah, but there's many, but I just enjoy those games where you are under pressure to deliver.
Yeah, no, one day I hope to also shoot at one of those derbies. Hopefully Eagle FM will send me there as well one day. Now, what are some key lessons you've learned in your photography, in your long, illustrious photography career? What are some key lessons that you've learned?
The key lesson that I've learned in photography, man, is that you need to be patient. You need to respect this game. Then that game will respect you back. I call it the game because it's like when they're playing on the field, you're also playing on your lens. So it's something that you need to respect. When you respect it, then it will respect you back. And another lesson that I've learned is that you need to arrive early at the event. You know, you need to make sure that all your equipment are ready. You charge your batteries, and then you prepare yourself like a day before. So I've learned that, you know, to be the best photographer, you just need to be, I would say, humble and concentrate and try and learn from other photographers as well. So there's a lot that one can learn in the career of photographer. But I myself, I've learned also to also like respect people on the field, you know. When you meet people, you respect them, you know, you learn, and then you ask, you know. You just it help you to be a good human being around people as well, you know, which is like something that you cannot get when you do other careers, you know.
Looking now at the other side of things, is there anything about sports photography that you don't enjoy?
My brother, to be honest with you, there's nothing that I don't enjoy about sport photographer, because it's something that I signed for it. The reason I'm saying I signed for it is because of this was my only opportunity for me to feed my family. So it's like I graduated in this game, even if I didn't go to school or university or college for photography. So, man, photograph, bro, is like a healthy marriage. So, I won't say there's something that I don't enjoy about it. I enjoy everything. I enjoy just to be holding the camera. I enjoy to just to travel as a sport photographer. I enjoy any event that I cover as a sport photographer, small or big. So photograph, man, has done a lot for me. So I will always enjoy it until maybe one day when the times come, then I'll put down my equipment, then I'll call it a quit, but I'll stop taking pictures. But yeah, this is in my blood, bro. It will stay with me for the longest time. Even if I, after I retired, still gonna have like a small camera and I'll take pictures. Yeah, this sports photographer has done a lot for me.
No, it's very evident that this is something that you're doing, something that you love. So now, speaking about that, every photographer's dream in the world is to have the world speak about their pictures, or at least see their pictures. You experienced that about a month ago when you captured the unprecedented scenes from the Esperance Sundowns CAF Champions League match, when, you know, there was that whole fight with the fans at the end. You captured that amazing image of the South African fan basically saving the Esperance supporter from falling down from the bleachers of the stadium. And, you know, that got millions and millions of views. I'm sure your phone was ringing nonstop for weeks on weeks on end. That was a topic of conversation. I mean, I saw the picture moments after it happened. Obviously, I didn't know it was taken by you at the time, but I was just taking in the content as it was coming on the social media timelines. So as a photographer, describe to us what was going through your mind as you were capturing that. And did you know at the time, like in that moment as you were capturing, did you know this is the one, this is gonna take the world, or at least the continent, by storm?
Okay, my brother, for that shot of the Inspiring fan, man. You see, it was just something that I always dream of, you know, to get a shot that will separate you from other photographers. Like, not, I'm not saying this in a bad way, but my belief is that you as a photographer, you need those shots that can define you, you know, also can also define the level of your concentration, the level of how much you love the photographer. So when I was capturing that moment, what was going through my mind, I was just sad and happy at the same time when I see that fan hanging there, you know, because I have these things in my mind, like if you fall, it will be the best picture, but it probably going to damage my mind for a very long time to capture a picture like that. And it turns out that one of the Mamelodi Sundowns fan, he managed to come and assist the guy. So it was one of the shots that I've been praying for, especially this year, because I always plan, you know, I always, you know, especially at the beginning of the season, I always try my best that, you know what, this year, this is what I want to achieve in terms of photography, you know. So for that picture, that it will go viral. I told one of my friends after that game, I told him that, you know what, I've got this picture, man, watch the space. I want to break the internet now. And I said, what are you talking about? And then I was like, okay, bro, just wait. Give me 10 minutes. And then I drove from the stadium. I'm also relaxed because I told myself that, you know what, if anyone got this picture, it's lucky him. But you know what? I think this is my turn to shine now again. So I got home. When I got home, then I ate my dinner. I was so relaxed, you know. So after like 30 minutes or so, and then I put the pictures online. I put it on the company that I work for, obvious Big Page Pics, and then I put it on my social media. Yo, after 2-3 hours, I was getting messages from Egypt, Morocco, Ethiopia. Every corner of Africa, people were amazed that, you know, people were fighting there, but there was one photographer who came out with a shot that at least showed the positive side of what was happening there. So that was one of the shots that I pray for. I pray for these shots, you know. So it finally happened. And then that's why I told you that I want to do a tattoo of that picture, because I'm not going to let that picture die, bro. I want to have that picture for... until I want to have it with me. You know, when you got a tattoo, you're not going to cancel it, because pictures like that, you don't know when you're going to get it again, you know. So that's why I'm saying the level of your focus when you're doing your work as a sport photographer, it needs to be like 150, you know. You have to make sure that when you're there, where you see where we're sitting there at the corner, I call it my office, you know. So I don't want any distraction when I'm there. I want to do my work like 150%.
Awesome. Awesome to hear. Now, sports photography is all about telling stories. What's been one of your favorite stories that one of your photos has told? Now, besides the Esperance one, before that, what were some of your favorite stories or moments that your pictures have conveyed?
This one is a difficult question, but yeah, I will take it. You ask me, sports photographer, it's all about telling a story. What being their favorite story?
Awesome. Awesome to hear. Now, sports photography is all about telling stories. What's been one of your favorite stories that one of your photos has told? Now, besides the Esperance one, before that, what were some of your favorite stories or moments that your pictures have conveyed?
Okay, my brother, I think there's many, but yeah, you remember sports photography is more of action, so there's less news unless that one of the Inspirants fan. But there's one that I remember now. There's one picture that I took in Gabon before the final. So it was the final, it was Egypt against Cameroon. So if you know a silhouette picture, so that picture, it was telling a story of like a day before the end of the African Cup of Nations. If you know like a silhouette picture, so that was one of the picture that I took that people were like, this is a great shot since we've been like in Cameroon for like the whole month. So finally, it's only like then in the next 24 hours, then the tournament will be done. So that's one of my picture that I remember that told the story of the tournament.
Interesting, interesting. So almost at the end now, but I'm not sure what the environment in South Africa was like, but in Namibia, speaking now from experience, you hardly see any young sports photographers. Truthfully speaking, you barely see any sports photographers. I mean, I can count them on one hand, really, because I see them almost every weekend. Lately, I don't see them at all, actually. But what do you think needs to happen to get the youth now specifically more involved in photography?
My brother, to get more youth involved in photography, man, the thing is, photography is all about the love. It's like when you love to mechanic cars, if you like to fix cars, when you love to play netball, it's the same thing. So photography, it starts with the love, you know, and then money then will come after, because, you know, everything that it does at the end of the day, you know, need to benefit from it. But in Namibia, I mean, it depends also in terms of, you see, like in South Africa as well, there's a lot of social media photographers. So there's others that want to get involved now. They, you know, they need the accreditation to shoot the big league. So also here in Namibia, it's just to the one that are already taking pictures now, they must push to get the shot that tell a story, so that at least one, a young man or young girl somewhere in the villages or township here in Namibia, they will look at that picture and thinking like, I know what, I love this. And also I want to be a photographer or sport photographer, because to be a photographer as well, you don't have to be a sport photographer. You can be a photographer of a wedding, photographer of baby showers, photographer of animals. So it all starts with the love. So as soon as the guys here put the effort to get those beautiful pictures for others, when they see it, and then they'll think like, you know what, I love this, I want to try it. And then it all start there, but it come with a lot of hard work to be a top photographer, because we learn every day. Even if I've won the award, even if I've traveled Africa since 2017, covering all the African Cup of Nations, covering COSAFA Women's Tournament, but still, even today, I still want to learn more. I still have the hunger to get the best picture. So it all starts with the love. Once you are in love with taking photos, that would also gonna take you to another level.
The best just got better. Paratus fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second, starting from just 500 Namibian dollars, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation, so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Paratus offices to find out more, or go to paratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepare. Paratus.
Let's just have Samuel finish up quickly.
Okay. So, lastly, you have had a long and incredible career, truthfully speaking. In these past few days, I've learned a lot. And like I said, I didn't know I was sitting next to, you know, basically a living legend. But what is a career goal that you haven't achieved yet? What's that thing on your bucket list still?
The career goal that I have not achieved yet, I would say covering the World Cup. You know, because for me, I always tell my other friends, look, when we talk about photograph, that photograph for me is more like, I compare it to like a football player where he like played lower division and then he go to second division, then he go to the highest division, but they just want to continue growing. So the only thing that is missing that I have not achieved is the shooting the World Cup. Yeah, that's the only thing that has been missing, my friend.
That was none other than Samuel Shivambu speaking to us. South African award winner, photography award, sports photography award winner. And in the conversation, Samuel alluded to his brother that, you know, got him into the game and everything. And actually, as I said in the interview, when I was Googling him, this name Lefty Shivambu first came up. But then I was looking at pictures of Lefty, and he didn't look like Samuel, so I was a bit confused. Turns out, Samuel's brother is just as, if not even more, critically acclaimed than Samuel. You know, he has a whole, Getty Images, portfolio. I mean, those of you that have heard about Getty Images, only serious photographers get featured there. Let me say it like that. I mean, images there cost over $200 per image. People buy, or organizations buy images from there. So this gentleman Lefty, you know, when you scroll through that Getty Images portfolio, there's pictures of Samuel Eto'o at Barcelona. Now I'm speaking. Samuel Eto'o, Ronaldinho, all kinds of legendary photos. Photos that, mind you, I've seen before. So that some of the photos I recognized before. But I was slightly confused because, you know, those are from the, like, 2006, 7, maybe even 5. You know, that kind of time period. And that would make Samuel way older than what he looked like, at least, from when I saw him in person. So, you know, he comes from a lineage of photographers. It's in the family for them over there, or for him over there. And as Samuel was explaining there, as Sam was explaining that the stories that his images tell, it's something that's really remarkable. Something that as a photographer you hunt for. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yeah, sorry man, I don't know, I did not finish the interview with my role model there.
Your role model? So,
Yes, obviously. Yeah. It's our role model.
Yeah.
So I got some few things. Maybe there was disruption in my apps there.
Okay.
But then what strikes my mind is that, you know, I don't know whether I went further study, but apart from exposure, experience, and all this training, service training and other things, but when I got to say he finished grade 12,
mm-hmm.
and there was no fund for him to further his study, maybe at the system of higher learning.
Yeah.
But when you now look at that, and that commitment and sacrifice and hard working and all these other things
mm-hmm.
that require somebody to succeed. So, and then you are saying you are very few people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a profession, and I think it's part of the creative industry. Or is it not? Does it not have the element in that area?
Yeah, no, it falls. It falls in there definitely.
It falls there, eh?
Yeah.
So where you can see some young ones having some kind of to producing some films,
yeah,
some photographies, and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And these are our heritage, cultural heritage.
Yeah.
And so that I go to these things, I can watch maybe, I don't know whether it's cinema or some other, those museums and things like that. I will able to see. I do sometimes see some pictures there, put on there, usually only when somebody has died.
Mm.
That's when they now take the oldest one once, the old one, and then they put this Kakolosan one. So now, if you are few,
yeah,
why is it that people are not taking up those professions that are not so much crowded?
It's a good question. Perhaps I don't know. Maybe they feel it doesn't pay enough. Maybe I'm not sure, but I can definitely tell you that because I mean I'm the one that takes photos for Eagle FM, and when I'm at these events, there's only like two. If there's a lot of us, we are maybe three.
You know?
Yeah, so there's definitely a gap somewhere.
Yeah, there's a real gap because, you know, this physical education,
yeah,
as a subject in school,
mm-hmm,
I know it used to be, and the people are take it so lightly because that's why they say extramural curriculum. And, you know, the way it sounds to me, like a subject that is so relegated to the background,
mm-hmm,
and it doesn't it's like there's no kind of that forcefulness, you know, because if that is the case, why shouldn't we have more young ones going for those kind of study?
Yeah,
they become coach, they become also photographers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become so many, even in like a mission of the, just to produce some kind of fame.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the events are taking place, you are recognized, you know, you are there. You can sell those things to many, many other things. So I'm very happy for your bravery, guys. But let's perhaps also see whether we can create some interest.
Yeah,
in the mind of many of the young people, you know, they love sports.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe during those things, I don't know which platform that are so appropriate for you people to dish out this kind of information and tell them that this area, you know, it is live or whatever. It's, there are more opportunities. So thank you very much for this thing, and let's congratulate him there. And please, let's encourage this young ones to study these things.
Thank you, thank you.
Physical education, when you now do, you can even do it on the, you know. So you might go for a doctorate or do whatever kind of thing, but why can't you think of this kind of course?
Yeah.
Even here in Namibia, when it comes to boxing and all these other things, you still have some few people who are, you know, classified as, you know, in those categories.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, when they produce those products,
yeah,
from the ground there, and theirs goes now to international, they get lost. So there is no compensation for them.
Yeah.
There is no recognition and say, yes, I'm coming from this camp A, to come B, to come C, and things like that. That kind of gradually grow.
Mm.
And the person who has created the foundation, you get zero. So not even a reward. So there is somehow, somewhere, things are not all right. The way I'm observing them, I'm looking at them. Maybe I might be wrong. Okay? Mm. So thank you. This pure learning experience and all these things, so that we don't just lose talents, you know.
Exactly.
Sometimes the talents are just lost in the process. So instead of them being utilized properly, except when the, like the our girls who are running and many other few, those ones, they, but once they come from the ground there, and then they reach Tega and they are pushed and they are gone.
Yeah.
And the coach who was there in the technical teams and all those who were managing and molding this person, their skills are no longer recognized. Now they will get a national coach. So thank you very much, my brother. God bless you. I think we are able to put our administration in order.
Yeah.
So that we put those codes and all these things. Because when you have codes, so they will, and then you have good structure.
Yeah.
And they will go down to the rural area.
No, definitely.
Cool.
Thank you for calling.
All the best.
Yes, another great listener contribution there. If you'd like to chime in the last five or so minutes, 0832-888-401. As you are speaking there, actually, there is a correction I should make. It's not that there's no young photographers in Namibia, because I mean, there's many photographers you can look up, but it's more like, you know, graduations, weddings, things like that. When it comes to sports photography, but being specific, your sports photography, we're few and far in between. So I don't know what must happen to get people more, or to get the youth more involved in sports photography. Because at the end of the day, you're telling the story of your own people. Your youth covering youth, essentially. So, and as I always say on here, things matter. Because the media says they matter, in a nutshell, in speaking generally now. So the more people we have covering our sports events, the more they will matter to the people of Namibia. It's quite frankly that simple. We just have to look south of the border, what's happening in South Africa. You know, there's... You know, there, obviously, markets are different. I understand all of that. But there you have the youth fighting to get accreditation to cover certain sports events. You know? Why can't the same happen here? Hopefully in the next few years, we'll see change in that department, but if we don't, you can always find the pictures on Eagle FM Namibia, on our Facebook page, on our Instagram pages, on our X pages. We cover as much sports as we can, as we humanly can. We like to capture our young athletes, our young stars, our young up-and-coming stars, you know, in line with what Minister Steenkamp said yesterday about how Eagle FM, good evening.
Dade?
Yes.
Mama tu kalau puno.
Ana.
Baik jalan
eh. Iya.
Alu ikir mungkin angga itu aku tu mau anggela mulu eh mai dah jual katu di te orang jamu mom berpihak di papa no mau mau kus kusir lah satu nyala aku di natu lomber.
Ya, atau tay panggil tay garuk angga.
Oh, tay garuk angga.
Eh, tay garuk.
Okay. Oh, tadi baturi indah tak kerana pengan atau kerana marah. Oh, pajur kuani.
Yeah, otwe, ada yang kerugian face, ada yang kerugian.
Oh, meni, jadi mungkin waktu ni.
Dia boleh ni aku cakap, nak kira mana, ada yang kerugian.
Okay.
Yeah, mungkin face atau boleh ku pakai kena kau app.
Oh, ay, ni nak apa?
Oh, ya.
Itu pergi ni ke kolam dia orang dia tu kusi kusi je tu kan, tapi aldrum pasti toko siang kan, amat dia. Tapi naru bandar, oh, pengairi.
Eh, apa?
Oh, boleh kau bantu kan ni, boleh kau apa? Atau perlu tu mina kau dia eh, no, dia kata siapa siapa, ni no kau dia ni orang kan malah, tapi support dia mana no? Aye, oh, kita ada pengga siapa tiada sana le.
Tu mina message aku.
Sama nengko itu kata sana sana makusi kusi ingat lo show. Tuhan, anim popisan ngasih tu. Okay. Do you mean a message? I
call
081?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, our time is now officially up. If anyone else would like to chime in with any thoughts, comments, concerns, questions, you have about a minute left. 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Don't forget, tomorrow The Villager will be published. I can reveal that I have an article in there coming up as well. Sports article. So if you want to read that, all you have to do is send your email address in a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, it has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As I said, stay tuned to our social media pages if you'd like to see content from the 2025 COSAFA Under-17 Girls Championships. Support women's football, support girls' football. Some great football on display that I've seen so far. And like I said, Tuesday is a big day. Tuesday is a big, big day in Namibian football, as the girls have the opportunity to qualify for the semifinals for the first time in this tournament. So it actually, if they do win, if they do win, it'll be our first win in the tournament as well. So a lot of history is at stake on Tuesday. If you're able to, come to the stadium, Haga Gamecup Stadium in Windhoek. If you aren't able to, the matches are also being streamed on FIFA Plus, which is free, doesn't cost you anything either. So let's support the girls, cheer them on, and wish them the best of luck. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I'm your host, Hendez, per usual, and I will see you next Sunday, same time, same place, live on your number one talk radio station.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
As great as that intro was, I have to come back and say I will leave you with, as usual, the sounds of Jimmy Cliff. See you next week.